This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area, Tuesday, March 5th, 2013. Municipalities, agencies, and organizations are beginning to glimpse the impacts of sequestration, a round of cuts imposed by congressional inaction on the budget. KVNF's Marty Derlin has an example here at home.
Delta County Health Officer Bonnie Kaler told commissioners yesterday that the sequestration has taken a whack out of a crucial fund, the Community Services Block Grant that pays for some family planning services, excluding abortions, along with emergency medications for those who can't afford them.
And that's the money we use here to work with unintended pregnancies and then medications for people that don't have a payment source but can't get out of the hospital or out of the ER until they can get this med. So anyway, last year I had $49,000 to do this. They're preliminarily indicating that I'm going to get $20,224.
The $30,000 cut will not be felt immediately.
My plan right now is to continue business as usual, because this has happened before, not with sequestration, but with the delay in the federal budget. So I will continue business as usual, but if this does not change, those programs will stop, probably on or about August.
Kaler says the health department is especially vulnerable when federal money is in doubt, because those funds directly or indirectly pay for many of its services.
We are heavily dependent on contracts, state contracts and federal contracts. So I have to be nimble, because my sense is this is the first one, but this will happen to my family planning money, my West Nile virus money, my maternal and child health block money. So this is really a chance to reinvent how we do business in Delta County.
Kaler's window at the county health department is fancifully decorated with wands to do the magic she feels her job requires. And she takes the cuts personally.
When I look at these budget sheets, I don't see numbers, I see faces. A lot of these programs are for women and children who, by the very function of age, cannot vote. I need to be their advocate.
With another budget battle looming in the nation's capital at the end of March, Kaler may need an extra dose of magic. For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.
The gun debate was front and center at the state capitol yesterday as proposals already approved in the House made their way to Senate committees. It was a marathon day of testimony that also included debate on three new Democratic-backed bills. Benta Berkland brings us more from the state capitol.
Hundreds of Second Amendment advocates jammed the Capitol's halls and filled all overflow rooms trying to listen in on Monday's hearings. Even before the testimony began, a plane flew above the building with a banner saying, quote, "Hick, don't take our guns." Honking cars circled the Capitol all day, protesting the debate going on inside. Jim Heath drove up from Colorado Springs. He says he didn't expect to actually make it inside a packed hearing room, but says it was important for him to make his presence and opposition known to lawmakers.
All are taking away some right that we already have, because we're in a country that should be governed by the Constitution. So who are the representatives that we should be representing us to try and take away any of the God-given rights?
Four of the seven bills have already cleared the Democratic-controlled House, including measures requiring universal background checks on all gun purchases and a bill limiting high-capacity magazines to 15 rounds.
It just seemed to me the knee-jerk reaction was to go right for gun rights or gun restrictions rather than to consider maybe mental health issues.
John Flynn is a project engineer for the State Department who stood in the hallway outside a committee hearing room. He opposes all the measures because he says they punish law-abiding citizens. He also believes the White House is trying to use Colorado as a test case on just how far Democrats can push gun control legislation.
I think that with our collective intelligence, we can come up with more constructive ways to prevent issues like Columbine, Aurora, Virginia Tech, Newtown, Gun control has been tried in the past and it hasn't worked. Statistics show it.
But advocates for the bills argue the measures would help prevent gun violence. Jane Doherty lives in Colorado and lost her sister in December's Sandy Hook shooting. She testified in support of a high-capacity magazine ban. Doherty says no one, including shooters like Adam Lanza, should ever have access to such a deadly weapon.
The large-capacity magazine that he held was the same type of weapon we use in war, and he had enough firepower to act as a platoon to slaughter these babies, helpless children, in classrooms.
Several other victims from mass shootings testified in support of the stricter gun laws. Patricia Mesh helped tackle Tucson, Arizona gunman Jared Loughner. She says the images will stay with her forever.
The destruction of a human body hit by bullets is sadly, incredibly grotesque. From pink to blue to gray in a matter of seconds, with hands curling up, pools of blood, gaping mouths, and eyes wide open.
One of the more controversial measures being proposed got its first hearing on Monday. Democratic Senate President John Morris of Colorado Springs is sponsoring a bill that could hold sellers and manufacturers of assault weapons civilly liable in shootings.
When you acquire an assault weapon, you're putting all of us at risk just to satisfy your own want. You should not be able to do that without taking complete responsibility for putting the rest of us at risk. These weapons don't serve a useful public purpose.
Morse acknowledges that the safest way for a seller to avoid liability is to simply not sell assault weapons. He says it's not a constitutional right, but opponents argue it is a right, and his bill is simply a backdoor assault weapons ban. Republican Senator Kevin Lundberg of Berthoud says most weapons are used lawfully.
Those semi-automatic rifles, when they are used for the defense of property, of family, of individuals, do serve a purpose. And the purpose is to deter destruction of people and property. That's what they're extremely likely to do.
Lawmakers also heard a bill that would ban online training for concealed weapons permits and a measure requiring domestic violence offenders to surrender their guns. All the proposals passed on party-line votes. Perhaps a Republican lawmaker summed up the long day of hearings best when he said these awful tragedies should be prevented, but there's a real deep disagreement as to how we get there. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
As the Colorado Senate Committee debated gun bills at the Capitol, Delta County commissioners heard impassioned pro and con on the enforcement of the pending legislation. KVNF's Marty Derlin reports.
First, there was Charlie Huff, who read a statement on the infringement of Second Amendment rights to own, possess, and bear firearms.
I would want to know whether you are considering making a public written statement at some time with regard to absolutely prohibiting the enforcement or prosecution within Delta County of any resident for any legislation at any level of government, including federal, Colorado state, county, or municipal town, which is blatantly an infringement upon the Second Amendment constitutionally guaranteed natural rights to own, possess, and bear firearms as we individually see fit and appropriate for our individual or collective, when necessary and appropriate, needs for our recreation, personal self-defense against criminal assault of individuals of one or more, a mob, or even criminal government. Now, it's my understanding, and I trust it's your understanding, that that is the purpose of the Second Amendment.
Chairman Doug Atchley said commissioners had sworn to uphold the Second Amendment, along with all the other amendments, as part of their oath of office. And he noted that while the commissioners hold the purse strings of the sheriff's office, the sheriff is responsible for enforcement. Huff responded that the current sheriff, Fred McKee, a prominent pro-gun advocate, has made his views known on the issue of enforcement.
You know, I'm not really worried right about now with regard to the sheriff we have in office, because I think he understands these principles and is willing to abide his oath to abide the Constitution.
Then there was Bob Latris, who disagreed.
I've been shot at. I've been a victim of a crime. So
So I reported it. That's law enforcement. That's what we have them for. We don't need posses or anything like that. That's not civilized. So I think we better stop this, oh, I want a gun, I want a gun. You're going back to the primitive way of thinking. Somebody disagrees with me, bang. You don't run a civilized country with guns. The problem is people pick up a gun, load the gun with a totally unloaded mind, or misload it.
For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.
KVNF's Tammy Meck reports that the number 3 seeded Hotchkiss Lady Bulldogs lost to Meeker on Friday and defeated Rangeley on Saturday 40-38 to place third. They will travel to Northeastern Junior College in Sterling to face Lyman, a 16-5 record, in Region 2 competition this Friday night. The number 4 seeded Paonia Boys Basketball lost to Hayden 47-60 on Friday and lost to West Grand 58-65 on Saturday to place fourth. They will travel to Durango to face Ignacio and their 18-5 record in Region 3 competition this Friday. The number 1 seeded Paonia Lady Eagles squeaked by with a 38-34 win Friday over Rangeley, then lost 58-61 to number 2 Meeker Saturday to play second. They will also travel to Durango, where they will face Del Norte with a 14-8 record Friday in Region 3 competition. Regional pairings can be found at coloradopreps.com. And finally, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service plans to provide 3 more weeks for people to comment on its proposal to list the Gunnison sage grouse as an endangered species and designate critical habitat in Colorado and Utah. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports a bipartisan group of U.S. senators and House members from both states had signed a letter asking for a 60-day extension in the comment period and for formal hearings on the matter. The comment period had been scheduled to close March 12th. A Fish and Wildlife spokesman said it wasn't yet clear if the agency would be able to extend that deadline or would have to open a new comment period, but either way, there would be 3 more weeks to weigh in on the proposal. Fish and Wildlife proposes designating 1.7 million acres of critical habitat for the Gunnison sage grouse. About 5,000 breeding birds are known to live in the Gunnison Basin and in southeastern Utah. Thus concludes today's newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria.